Natalie and Matthias, and we welcome you to our conversations with B2B ecosystems experts and platform founders. Our goal here is to uncover what they learned and help you launch and scale platforms, marketplaces, and business ecosystems.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of our Platforms for Future podcast. And as usual, with me, my lovely co-host, Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Matthias. Nice to be here again.
Hi, Natalie. Yeah, you know, it's not always about platforms. You also hear and read about ecosystems a lot, especially in the last year. And also our adopters of the Platform Innovation Kit users know that we have our ecosystem journey canvas developed and published. So there's a lot of happening around ecosystems, but there's still this main question, what exactly is an ecosystem, especially in business ecosystems? So what is the difference between a platform and an ecosystem? So yeah, there are a lot of questions out there. And that's why we decided to create a mini series about ecosystems. And today we have our first one where we want to talk about ecosystem strategies, the theories behind the basic understandings, and also what is the current state of research around this topic. Just to clarify everything and clarifying the difference between platforms and ecosystems. And later in the second part, we will have a closer look at this from a more practical perspective. So how companies approach this. So therefore, we invited Evangelos from Swiss Re, and he will talk about this. But let's go straight into our first part. And therefore, we invited Mr. Ecosystem, Julian Karwohl. Julian is professor for strategic management at the University of Applied Science in Berlin. Hi, Julian.
Hello, Natalie. Hello, Matthias. Great to have you here.
Yeah, Julian, we know each other for a while, but our listeners, maybe they not heard about you. I'm sure they heard about you, but maybe not. So please, can you give a short intro about yourself, what you are doing, so that our listeners know more about you?
Yeah, more than welcome to do so. When I try to describe my life or my position with a headline, then I would say I'm kind of like wandering between the worlds of research and practice and between the worlds of startups and corporates. And overall is a topic of ecosystems, especially business ecosystems. So what I've done in the past, I have a corporate background. I was in my ultimate corporate position. It's even 6 years ago. I was the head of strategy of AXA Insurance in Germany. And there also first time in contact as an executive with the building and identifying and building of ecosystems. And now I changed the world. I did a professor, as you mentioned, in the University of Applied Sciences in Berlin. And since three and a half years, I have been doing intense research for the topic of ecosystems with the purpose of developing concepts and frameworks. And one you mentioned, because the ecosystem journey canvas, we actually also created together. And I was then where I focused just purely on these kind of concepts for ecosystems to help managers to get a clear picture, a clear idea how to set up ecosystem strategies and get an idea how to positioning in ecosystems. That's maybe what I am. But if you like me to go further, just ask questions. Otherwise, I think that should give a broad picture about what I'm doing.
No, I think at the first glance, it gives our listeners a good intro. And I'm sure we have enough time in this podcast to talk about also your frameworks and what you research and what you developed. But let's start very, very basic. From your point of view, and you have done a lot of research, as you mentioned, so what is really a difference between ecosystem and platform? Maybe they are very similar or they are different. So what is your understanding?
First of all, as always in research, there's no clear that's the one or that's the other, or this is the pure definition for the one or the other. So obviously, both are linked together. That's maybe the first main message of that. And of course, in research, you ask 10 researchers, you get 12 opinions. It's the same in business. And I think we are here also in the same way that this topic, how to define it, how to say what's the one or the other, is not yet 100% clear. I will try to give my personal view on that, which is that, of course, first of all, when we look in the past, we have companies which are very pure platform oriented, which have had, which created a transaction engine. And that is for me kind of the pure definition of a platform where you try to get as most as possible a transaction on it to link different parties, either consumers like in social networks or in B2B, different customers or different supply chain partners. So this is kind of trying to be the net, create the network on a platform as a transaction engine. The ecosystem is a little bit broader. For me, it's kind of a set of interconnected partners which try to create value together for either business or human customers. Meaning we have more this kind of, there's no one player who's just creating the platform and trying to get to be the one who is actually linking all together, and then the other ones are just suppliers to this platform. On the ecosystem, you have more this kind of equality, but all with the purpose of creating value, so that links go together. So once again, I think, of course, every ecosystem also needs kind of a platform where you create traction, but the whole system and the value which is created, the services, the products, whatever, the data, it's more that the network is more on a similar level, or at least on a more equal level than on a platform with a clear one-to-many relationship. And I hope that makes it a little bit clear, but that's my definition of it. That's why I make it concrete, at least with two examples. The classical platform business in the beginning of the 2000s, when Amazon was started from Jeff Bezos, you have the one platform, Amazon, and you have the booksellers and the users and or the consumers, and you have one Amazon who's just creating the space where those are linked together. No additional services. It was just pure transaction engine, let's call it like this. And then in the ecosystem world, then we have more and more partners integrated in ecosystems like Amazon or Amazon W or AWS or also B2B ecosystem, where more companies are creating together value because they are sharing data, they are creating services together. For instance, Amazon Web Services creating services together with its clients and with partners. And so you have more this, of course, they have some kind of platform, but actually they are working more together in projects and to create value. I think maybe with this differentiation, it makes clear. So both are linked together, but they're not the same now.
Can you maybe also, if we try to project the example of Amazon onto maybe some current industry examples or evolution of some markets towards that currently, do you have any ideas in mind that could also illustrate this?
Yeah, the thing is, or the interesting thing is that only from my perspective, from the old traditional platform players in the pure definition I mentioned, like very transaction oriented, they all have evolved into more or less ecosystem players when they moved into other areas. We call it life areas, but in other domains, let's call it like this, because then they need partners which help them to create together value. For instance, if now Apple is trying to approach financial services, they need partners like the banks or financial institutions to create value together, to connect it with the APIs, but also to create services for the users, which is more than just to be the connector. It's more that they create both together the value proposition. Yeah, and you find that in many other fields. You can find that, for instance, also in the area of mobility, in the case of autonomous driving. Yeah, when you try to create there a standard, a market standard for technology, because this is very complex. It has security issues. It has, of course, convenience issues and many, many more. And the players, the OEMs, the software companies and other players, they try to work together to set that standard and to create value propositions together. At the end, there will be one platform, either a sharing platform or a technology innovation platform or other platforms, but the value is created together. And it's not that the pure transaction focus is here key. It's more that the collaboration focus and the service focus is key. And of course, there's no clear 100% black and white differentiation between both of us, because as I said, the platform players in my definition have evolved into more or less ecosystem players for new domains. In some areas, they are still classical platform players. That's why you have these both models also parallel in shape.
Would you say that, what in your opinion is pushing that trend? Do you think that maybe European regulations are playing a role, or is it just companies realizing that they need to work together? What would you say is kind of underlying this movement?
Really depending upon the segment and the market. Sometimes it could be regulation. Regulation is always actually a chance to also for new competitors or new kids on the block to enter markets. And then, of course, if they want to enter, either they have to cooperate with existing players, with incumbents, or with startups, or with third parties. That could be one driver of it. The other driver is just, as you said, it's the complexity of the topic. If a company like, let's say, Microsoft wants to address the healthcare market with healthcare software, of course, they need the knowledge, the domain knowledge of the existing players. And of course, they can buy it via M&A, but they can also cooperate and create ecosystem formats to do so. So often it's that today it's possible, that's maybe one step behind, due to digitization decreasing costs in general, due to digitization, it's possible that companies can enter different market segments where they don't have their home turf. That was not possible, and at least it was not efficient in former times, like let's say 10, 20 years ago. That's why to do so, it's possible, but they need the partners. And then they need business models, which are ecosystem business models, in terms of revenue sharing, in terms of creating value together, et cetera, to do so. So I think these are the two main, let's call it two main drivers, because I think it's getting in this way. But at the same time, maybe one ultimate remark, it's not the death of platforms. I mean, we still have many, many other segments and parts where pure platforms, just connections, are necessary. And I mean, that's kind of also your job to talk about that and to supply, to facilitate, because there's still even big, big potentials, especially in B2B settings. But I think at the end, we will have, of course, in 10 years, we don't talk about differences between both, because we say it's one, it's just the operating model which changes and which is maybe more like more complex, but not just pure platform based or ecosystem based. I think that's maybe interesting to consider when you think about that.
Yeah, I think you made some very good comments here, and so you mentioned some different kind of understandings. So first is platforms are more facilitating the transactions, and ecosystems are for co-creation of equally partners. So this sounds like that ecosystems are a natural evolution of platforms. So after you established yourself as a platform and facilitating transaction, then there comes the next, let's say, evolution where you establish yourself in a broader ecosystem. And you also mentioned the different kind of reasons why companies approach this. What about the customers, the users? So we always like in our workshops and masterclasses, etc., to give an example about the raised expectations of customers. So they said, hey, I feel a lot about when I use Amazon, it's really, really convenient. I can have a lot of products I can buy under one umbrella, under one hood, on one platform. So this there's a lot of, raising expectations also regarding convenience, etc. How is it that also maybe the market, so the customers expect from bigger corporates, but also from platforms to integrate more and more different kind of services under one umbrella to get them, let's say, out of one hand? Is this also a big push of this topic?
Absolutely. I was just arguing because the question was like, it was for the corporations the driver, and then you mentioned definitely the third and probably most important driver, because companies have to be customer centric. Many aren't, or not so far. And so we call that, and we created this paradigm from our research ecosystem to be human, which we say this should be the new paradigm for actually all companies. Thinking about doing business in the future when ecosystems are getting more important. Of course, the question is chicken and egg, who's actually pushing it? Is the customer desiring it? Or is it our companies are doing the offering? And sometimes it's the one, sometimes it's the other. It's the same discussion is always the famous example about the iPhone. Yeah? Is the customer demanding the iPhone, or was it the creativity of Steve Jobs and his team? And then the customer was demanding it when knowing about the options. But in this case, the customer is actually learning from like three-click economy and convenience-based business model from Amazon and others, which is definitely a driver for ecosystems. That's why I think my recommendation would be that every company, even B2B companies, have to think in human-centric logics, which means what is at the end the benefit for us as humans, and that is for some of them who are very back in the classical supply chain very difficult. But my thesis is that this is actually integrating also due to digitalization and due to ecosystems, because we have working together companies who are integrating B2B and B2C services and all dedicated to the purpose of improving our life. And I think we will discuss it maybe also later with some examples, but that's why you're totally right. So it's at the end of the day that are the B2B users and the B2C users who actually strive for convenience, integrate solutions. Famous example, I think you mentioned that also sometimes in your speeches. We don't like to have 10 mobility apps, but we want to have one, same with healthcare, same with others. Maybe one day we have like the offering for our life, at least big ecosystem players like the tech giants. They are striving for that to be the concierge of our life. In Asia, they are still further, but we have examples like Sberbank, also from the traditional players. And of course, we have the tech players like Amazon, Tencent, etc., who try to address each life area to create this integrated experience for all our problems and all purposes of our life.
And do you have examples in mind of companies, of incumbent companies who actually successfully took this approach of thinking about the customer and the customer journey first, and or maybe moving from more product-centric approach to a more of a journey, customer journey approach, and then are starting to build or develop the ecosystem around those journeys?
First of all, I have to say it's very, very difficult for the big corporates, because, I mean, the big corporates are big corporates because they are really purely focused on efficient operations and lazy customers. Let's call it like this. Even they don't like to hear it, but we had also CEOs in the energy sector in Germany who say, okay, we have actually lost our customers, but the customers are too lazy to change and to switch. That's why there are still customers in one company, and you find that in many industries. So that's kind of the problem. And now all and everybody, because the startups are attacking the incumbents and ecosystem players as well, who enter their home turf markets, that now they know they have to be awake and have to think about how to mitigate that. So having said that, that means they are still on the journey. Maybe that's the bold answer of that. Of course, there are examples that everybody is claiming for him or herself. We are addressing the customer, but take the German automotive industry. I mean, they have been very further. Like I always try to analyze them in the like the race, because the race in the German automotive industry, because they are like 7-8 years ago, BMW was in front with sharing solutions, very customer centric, very holistic, also entering other life areas. Then they did go back to the core business, and now then Mercedes was in front also with healthcare services and other services which were very integrated, very convenient, but small tickets. And the problem, and now Volkswagen, which was actually blocked due to the diesel scandal, now is in front in terms of integrated customer experiences. So they all are trying to go steps further. They have evolved, but still it's very difficult for them to go further, because at the end of the day, these kind of ecosystems solutions are difficult, because you often think you can only do things by yourself. So we have to be open. And of course, the revenues are at the beginning very small. So I mentioned to come back to your question also to the success cases. Sberbank is definitely one success case in Russia as a big bank, not traditional bank, but at least no startup, no neo bank, who is really integrating lots of services around or with ecosystems. Probably also in Germany, Deutsche Telekom is an example. Where, of course, on the one hand, they are a good example. On the other hand, they are also still on their journey. But they have evolved in terms of trying to address the entertainment area with many, many partners and getting out of this commodity competition in the core business. And of course, SAP, when you take, or also I mentioned, or I learned, you work for companies like Oracle and others, also these tech players, especially SAP, there I know it, they have a broad network of ecosystem partners, and now trying to use that also to stick into new markets. But once again, it's difficult to have these 100 success cases, because I think the topic of ecosystem for e-commerce is still for many at the beginning, which means they're trying, they are not investing as much. And also, if you look in the research, maybe ultimate sentence to that, you can also try to find some figures. I mean, even research does not know the big success cases, and the consultancies as well. I just read recently a study from McKinsey who tried case study based, tried to analyze, okay, who's making profits with ecosystem business from the incumbents, and it's just 5% were actually making a significant amount of money, because it takes time. You need the time, it needs risk, and the CEO and the board has to believe on that. That are all reasons why I think it's necessary on the one hand, and on the other hand, we don't have the lighthouse cases from companies who did big billion-dollar ecosystem business models, apart from the tech giants and unicorn startups who are in front, I would say.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation. So when I listen to that, it sounds a little bit like it's more like a gut feeling that you have to move in this direction as an incumbent company, because as you mentioned, there are no clear success cases, or not that many. There are not those statistics or KPIs where you can really show them, hey, this is bring you a lot of more money compared to your current business. So the obvious reasons are really kind of vague. But how do you, when you talk to the executives, what are maybe your top three arguments you bring to them and say, that's exactly why you have to move and you can't wait?
First of all, it is like it is because corporates are always too late. Bold statement, I know, but that's my experience. And of course, they are very risk averse, which is the second point. And that is their problem, because of course, in steady growing markets, that's okay. And as a board member, sometimes you just have to wait. Okay, that's a little bit exaggerated. Of course, you have to do operational management, but you don't have to have these kind of very risky strategic decisions. Now you have to do it even more. And that's why for them, being a CEO today is probably more than difficult than ever. And I'm not talking about Corona and COVID-19. It's basically because the developments of technology and of markets are getting more and more faster. Which means one of the arguments is definitely that you don't have the time to wait, because it can be too late. Look at different industries, like the media industry, like also the automotive industry, where all the players are aware of that, but still don't know when is the right moment to change radically. Once again, Volkswagen did it with pure focus on e-mobility and on ecosystem business models, but others are still maybe waiting. So one argument is you don't have to wait for the success case, because then it's obviously sometimes too late. Now, that's the main argument. And of course, I mean, you just have to look. It's not so vague. It's for me, you have still, you need this high level perspective, and even the executives, they know that. They know there are other attackers coming into my markets. And we see that every day when there's an announcement, okay, now we are addressing this or that life area or this or that market. And then the question is just, okay, when to react? So my arguments are that there are enough examples of attackers. Yes, you are in a time where you cannot survive by yourself. So you need corporations, and the more, so that's, it's not this 0-1 moment, okay, this case, and now we have to copy that and we can survive because we are the best copycat. It's more that you have to adapt, because it's a tsunami. It's starting very slowly, but you see the wave, and then you see, oh, it's too big. And, so I think maybe that could be a good metaphor. If you argue about this kind of danger thing, I rather would argue for the opportunity side, which is also very important. Which means, of course, you have to decide yourself. Either you grow with the existing business organically, or you try to set up new business models for the future. And so you have to do both, to mitigate and defend your existing markets, also with partners, because otherwise these partners are partners of the others, and then are claiming your market. And at the same time, you have to think about extending your markets. And so that would be my rationale when I discuss with them. Maybe that as a clear message.
Don't you think there's also a stake of thinking differently for the executives? Because when we're talking about an ecosystemic business model, we're not talking about a linear business model anymore, meaning I don't control like I used to. I need to orchestrate. So the governance needs to be very different, and the relation we have to control is very different also. And also in an ecosystem, there can be my competitors, and I have to accept, like Amazon did, to open my customer base to my competitors, you know, for a greater benefit. So I think this also probably this change in perception that plays a role.
100%. I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, everything is then a mindset and cultural thing. That's not linked just to the topic of business. That's for the topic of innovation. That's for the topic of new business. That's for all in business is there are the people. That's very simple. Maybe it's too simple, but it's true. But at the same time, you have to say that, well, I have to say that, of course, first of all, it's not always that you have to create the ecosystem by yourself. That's also one of the common mistakes. Yeah? Say, okay, I want to copy the Apple ecosystems, even if I'm a small bank in southern Germany or in southern India. Yeah? That's mistake number one. Yeah? But you have to think, what could be my contribution with my assets, with my unfair advantage, whether it is, you mentioned customer access, whether it is the database, whether it is IP or whatever, there are many options now, to contribute and to leverage that in ecosystems. And that's the main important thing. Of course, both is difficult. First of all, to everybody wants to be like Apple, but then in the second glance, you see you don't have the resources, the brand, etc., and then you stop all your ecosystem activities. It's as bad as not thinking about what could be other roles as partners, as collaborators in ecosystems. And so at the end, it's the mindset, and that is from the top management starting and ends at people who have to will be in charge as lawyers, as internal lawyers to negotiate contracts without having too many bureaucracy that it won't fly the ecosystem business model. And of course, also the salespeople who own the customers, et cetera, et cetera. You can go through the entire organization and you need this mindset. That's why it's so important that's what we are doing also here, to create a sense of urgency that the topic is important, that of course in hierarchical organizations, which we have in most of the cases, that the people on the top, they understand that, they try to, they have to try that, to be less risk averse by getting more knowledge about the topic. That is one mission I also have to create this sense of urgency, because otherwise I think there's really the danger of many of the incumbents we have, not only in Germany, where I can argue as a patriot, but also worldwide, which will die because they miss this exit.
Yeah, creating urgency is a good point here. When we talk to executives, they feel also this kind of urgency, but also a lot of pressure right now. And the pressure comes from different directions. So first, there are a lot of platforms around them attacking their business. Then we have seen Corona as the crisis. So they are putting on a lot of pressure to them, especially regarding their value chains, supply chains, etc. So to ensure they can deliver and what happens to the customers. So we see also customer behavior is changing right now. And we also saw and see sustainability as a big pressure point here. So becoming more sustainable, more circular, etc. And now another pressure with ecosystem. So you have to become an ecosystem player, an ecosystem company. You have to approach it. So this is a lot of pressure to the executives, and they feel a little bit of overwhelmed. So how can they approach all of that together, maybe? And how can they solve all of those issues, also those pressure points, maybe with a structured approach? Is there something where I say, yes, there is a solution for that? There's a kind of a framework for that?
First of all, fear is always like a bad partner for for managers, yeah. But obviously, you mentioned it. The world is we live in the famous VUCA world, where everything is complex, and we don't know how to manage that anymore. But of course, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and the funnel. And so, first of all, from that what you mentioned, you can integrate some of these topics like sustainability, and ecosystems, just to name two of them. So the solution could be sometimes very much simpler than you think about. So ecosystems could also be a solution for your problems when you address that, because the broader the topic, the better, at least in theory, you can solve it with partners and with others who have other assets who can contribute and support to solve this problem. First of all, that. Secondly, and of course, I mean, that's my personal purpose also with that what we created in the last 3.5 years in our research to create concepts and frameworks to structure the world that you de-risk your decision making. And this is, as I said at the beginning, one of the main problems. So you know, before you spend millions of dollars, you want to know, okay, what is the right direction? Where do I spend that? And how can I analytically derive that that it's really needed? Yeah. So first of all, it's structure in terms of finding the right scope, finding the right field where you can leverage your existing advantages, which at least every incumbent has some of them. And I think this is the main advice as well to think about that. And then, of course, to break it down and to think about where to play and which are the problems you will solve. And at the end of the day, also how to design the ecosystem. Natalie, we discussed it before in terms of what is your role? Are you kind of creating ecosystems, being maybe the orchestrator for human needs, or are you just focusing on B2B needs and being, in our term, maybe the enabler or any other role? And then to define that, to clarify that. So I think the main thing is to get the right picture, the right strategy, the right positioning before spending the money for execution. And that would be my main key message to get comfortable with this uncomfortable situation of VUCA world.
Yeah. Yeah, I also liked your point that talking about ecosystems to human, and this human, and please correct me, but this human stands for also the society. So it's not just the customer, but also the society behind. So what is you as a company providing as a benefit to the society, but also to the planet or to the environment? Because we are all as humans living in an environment. And so if you have a positive impact, not just for your own profit, but also for your environment, for your ecosystem around you, then there will be a huge, then it will help you to be successful in the future. You are also the, can we call, co-creator or creator of the Ecosystemizer framework. And we really, really like it as a starting point, as a high level strategic tool where you can, which helps you to position yourself in future ecosystems and to make and draw better decisions. How do you see also how the Ecosystemizer framework and maybe the Platform Innovation Kit works together?
I mean, first of all, the good thing is we are already working together, and I think they are very complementary because, as you mentioned, what is our purpose is to, as a starting point for managers, of course, top managers primarily, but also from other levels, to get a first orientation and first idea where's my playing field, and then to break it down. Yeah? And then, of course, you have many options after this process. And the options could be to create a specific platform in a specific niche or in a specific market. And there, the Platform Innovation Kit comes into the world or into the place where you can break that even on a very operative level, how to start, how to set it up. So we end when defining the playing field and do that with our concept and tools in a very, very structured manner. And then I think the platform innovation kit is then for all of them who say, okay, now I see for my specific markets, business units, whatever, there a platform or platforms are relevant, no matter if I create them or be part of some others, then you help to break it down and to get less insecurity. And that's, I think, what we both have in common with our tools. We help managers to break down very complex topics, which most of them are not able to do because they are not educated to do that. They don't have this holistic perspective and they don't think end to end. And which is not something which I criticize them. How can you do so? It's just the fact that they cannot do it because they have different mindset, different backgrounds, different education. Just a very small portion of the of managers can have this picture. And we have, I mean, we give them actually the tools to combine the internal knowledge with this holistic perspective and the breaking down of it. And I think that makes it there. We have the same basic logic and the complementary tools for both topics. That's how I see it, at least. Yeah.
Totally agree. Thanks a lot, Julian. I think we could indeed, as we are all are passionate about this, we could talk for hours. but we have to conclude. So what we like to do in our podcasts, as a kind of a wrap up, we like to ask our speakers for one recommendation. If you had one recommendation for a CEO who wants to really get started with ecosystems and you know, understand or actually practically get started, what would you recommend?
Find the right scope, but very simple. So it's a scope which is very important, and to define that, it sounds so simple, it isn't. Absolutely, because you have to do a lot of analysis and discussions and finding like your right starting point. But that's the most important thing. If you have that, you can invest your money in the right way. And that's for me the main number one recommendation.
Great, thank you for that. Very good recommendation, and also for giving your perspective on ecosystems and platform. I think it's much more clearer right now for our listeners, and we also of course learned a lot. Thank you for joining our conversation. It was always a pleasure to have you, and yeah, stay healthy, and maybe we can have another talk in 1 or 2 years where we see where this whole ecosystem movement went to, and how it has been applied by the corporates. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julian. Thanks, Matthias.
Thank you so much, also Natalie, Matthias, and let's do it exactly like this. And see you, and also stay safe. Take care.
This podcast is brought to you by Fastbreak One, your platform venture builder. If you want to learn more about our services and how we help corporations to launch and scale platforms, please visit our website www.fastbreak.one. And don't forget to tune in 2 weeks for a new episode.